Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. A few years ago, it seemed the guitar world needed an infusion of new blood. Enter Gary Clark Jr. Clark's big break came in 2010 when he was invited by Eric Clapton to play the Crossroads Guitar Festival, and from there, his career has taken off. He's been name-checked by Alicia Keys, he's played for President Obama. His first album is out now, it's called Black and Blue, and Gary Clark Jr. joins us today here in the Soundcheck studio to play some songs for us, including my favorite off the record. This one's called When My Train Pulls In.
Every day, nothing seemed to change. Everywhere I go, I keep seeing the same old thing. And I can't take it no more. Well, I would leave this town, but I ain't got nowhere else to go, no. Wake up in the morning, more bad news, and sometimes I feel like I was born to lose, and it's driving me out of my mind. I'm gonna catch the next train, then I'll move on down the line. Well, I'll be ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. Boy, I'll be ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. I know my time ain't long, and I can't live this life again. Walking down the street, you might run across a smiling face, but they'll stab you in the back as soon as you turn and walk away. And Lord, it's bringing me down. Well, if things don't change around here, there ain't no use in me hanging around. Hanging around. ready now. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. Well, I'll be ready now, yeah. I'll be ready when my train pulls in. I know my time ain't long and I can't live this life again.
You sure you're done there now? Because that piece ended like three times.
Yeah, that is the finale. That's it. I promise I'm done.
When My Train Pulls In, that is Gary Clark Jr. live on Soundcheck. Band? Who needs a band?
Yeah, those guys, whatever.
The band version sounds great on the record, Black and Blue. But man, it's so much fun to see you and hear you doing this solo stuff live here on Soundcheck today. Mm-hmm. People talk about you as if you sort of materialized out of thin air, you know, the overnight success.
Yeah.
And the last couple of years have been pretty busy for you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, does it feel like it happened really suddenly for you?
Yeah, actually. I was just kind of taking my time with everything. You know, I've been playing out. Gigging since I was 14, you know, mm-hmm. a freshman in high school, and a few years ago, just like it went from cruising, you know, maybe 50 miles an hour
uh-huh.
to like the Autobahn, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
So, you know, you're featured in the movie Honey Dripper.
Yeah.
Some of your music is in 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
There was one week earlier this year where you were mentioned on this show like two or three times in succession. Joe Levy of Rolling Stone came in with a track that he wanted to play for us from your record.
Oh, nice.
And then Jonathan Demme, the filmmaker, yeah. came in and said that when he left our studio, he was heading to watch you perform
oh, cool.
in concert. Where did you start? I mean, you're from Austin, right?
Yeah.
Austin, Texas. When did you first pick up the guitar?
I first picked up the guitar in 96. I was begging my parents to get me a guitar for years. And they were like, oh, you're just going to lose interest like you do with everything, baseball and football or whatever, you know, like, I quit, you know. And, so they were reluctant. And finally in 96, I started playing. A friend of mine, Eve Monse, she had a band down the street. And it was like an awesome trio, like rock and roll, blues mm-hmm. girls. They're all cute. I had a crush on every single one of them. And so I would just hang out there and play video games like her dad would repair video games. So I just hung out there and would listen and learn that way. And then for her 15th birthday, she wanted to go to a blues jam down on 6th Street. And so we just started there at a place called Babes.
Mm-hmm.
And
for folks who don't know Austin, 6th Street is sort of the lifeblood of that's where most of the South by Southwest festival takes place.
Right,
a lot
right,
of clubs
right.
and bars.
I mean, it's just music like all hours, you know.
Now, but you're growing up in Austin, so you're growing up in the considerable shadow cast by the late Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that as a guitarist coming up in that town?
I mean, that's kind of heavy. You got to do something different. Like, it's, you know, there's a reason I don't play a Stratocaster. And it's because when I get on a Strat, like, all I want to do is play like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's so big there and has such a major influence on the blues scene. Like, you can just tell. So, I mean, it's hard to not want to play that all the time because it's so great. It's such a big influence on me and, like, so many other musicians down there.
So you had to find your own way, and where did you look? Who were your guitar heroes? Who were your musical heroes?
Well, in Austin, Derek O'Brien, a great guitar player. He backed up everybody from Muddy Waters to B.B. King, Albert Collins, Alan Haynes, Tony Redman, W.C. Clark. Those were the guys that I was watching in Austin. And then at the same time, I was listening to stuff like Nirvana and Rolling Stones and Curtis Mayfield, Outkast, Tupac. You know, I was listening to everything. So anything that had guitar in it, I would just try and learn. Isley Brothers. So I picked up a lot of stuff from that, consciously and subconsciously, you know.
And at some point, Hendrix must have been in the mix somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of goes without saying. Yeah. Like, you just, if you play guitar and you aren't influenced, you're missing out.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the Stones. You've played with them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. What was that like?
It was crazy. I mean, I don't even...
Where were you?
We were here in New York. We did... The spot in Brooklyn.
Celebrate Brooklyn? No.
No, the big...
Barclays Center?
Barclays, yeah.
Okay.
Did that, and we were out in New Jersey, and I got to play with them in Hyde Park. I mean, it's just crazy that they invite me. I mean, it's like the biggest band in the world, and to think they want me to actually get up there and play guitar, it's like, I haven't really soaked that up yet, you know? I haven't had time to really...
process that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're the biggest band in the world. They are also arguably the biggest blues fans in the world.
Yeah.
So they know from blues.
Exactly.
They know it when they hear it, and obviously they hear something in you. We're speaking with Gary Clark Jr. His album is called Black and Blue, came out last October. You working on another one?
Yeah, always working on something. I haven't really had time to get in the studio, but I think at the beginning of the year I'm going to go cut something.
Alright.
Yeah.
On the album there's a song called Bright Lights, which is one of those great kind of waking up in New York City stories.
Yeah.
I mean, as people listen to this, is it just a story or was there any kind of truth to this tale?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very true. I think it was my first time up here. I was young and I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I landed JFK and took the train, Grand Central Station, Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of like walked out into this madness and I was just kind of wandering with my camera and I ran into some friends that I knew from Austin. They were just hanging out at this spot outside and they ended up taking me all over the city and ended up shutting a lot of places down. And then I just woke up in front of this hair salon and this woman was like, kicked me. And she's like, you're bad for business. And I was like, what? What just happened, you know? And so that's where Bright Lights came from, you know. I had to be on a plane and head back to Austin. I had a gig that night and I was late and just like a whole lot of things like turned for me. I was like, okay, wow, you got to be careful and take yourself seriously, and you know, and I got caught up and that's kind of what it was about.
Right.
You know,
well, and sometimes the universe just deposits a song right there in your lap.
Exactly.
Let's hear it. It's called Bright Lights from my guest Gary Clark Jr. playing live solo on Soundcheck.
woke up in New York City lying on the floor. Just outside of Marcy's West 54th. You're gonna know my name by the end of the night. Yeah. You're gonna know my name by the end of the night. Yeah. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. I don't care, no, 'cause you don't care, no. Start off with the bottle, ended up with the bottle. Taking shots, waiting on tomorrow, trying to fill up what's hollow. You gonna know my name. Well, you gonna know my name. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. I don't care, no, no, 'cause you don't care, no. Try to find myself. I went up, different person came down, somebody else. I know it ain't right, but it's all in my head. Whoa, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. I should be dead. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. Bright lights, big city going to my head. I don't care, no, 'cause you don't care, no. Well, you gonna know my name. Well, you gonna know my name. Well, you gonna know my name. Yeah. Well, you gonna know my name by the end of the night.
Gary Clark Jr. live solo on Soundcheck with his song Bright Lights. You'll find the band version of that on his album Black and Blue, but Gary's performing solo for us here in the studio on this edition of Soundcheck. Let's hear another song. This one's called The Next Door Neighbor Blues. Once again, Gary Clark Jr. You know, while Gary does that, you're sort of anticipating a question I was going to ask you, Gary, when we were done with this next song, which was whether you're playing in standard tuning.
No.
The answer is obviously no.
Open G. Or something close to it.
All right, but the other songs, Bright Lights and When My Train Pulls In?
Standard E.
Tuning, okay.
Yeah.
But down to an open G for all you guitar wonks at home. Here's, you ready?
Yeah, let's see how this works.
Here's the song, Next Door Neighbor Blues.
Got a call from my neighbor this morning. Told me my baby was gone. Got a call from my neighbor this morning. Told me my baby was gone. Took the keys of my Cadillac, left my clothes out on the lawn. Came home last night to a pistol pointed at my head. Came home last night to a pistol pointed at my head. She said, you better fess up, boy, or I swear I'm gonna shoot you dead. I should have known something was wrong. Something wrong been going on. I should have known something wrong been going on when my neighbor called me. Not soon after that I find out that little girl moved in next door.
Something like that is fine for us. Gary Clark Jr. with a version of Next Door Neighbor Blues live solo on Soundcheck. So for folks who are not guitarists, when I asked you a moment ago whether you were playing in standard tuning or not, that song's in open G.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that with open G, if you just strum without using your left hand at all, just strum the strings, you get a G chord.
Yeah.
So everything's all... You know, it's everything's resonant and the strings all resonate with each other.
Yeah, it's Yeah, it makes you play different, you know? It's inspiring in a way to switch up tuning and try and figure it out. It's like starting from scratch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's always amazed me, guitarists like, I don't know, Leo Kottke or even the guys from Sonic Youth, you know, where they have, like, different tunings for every song and maybe a different guitar. It's like you're basically playing a completely different instrument now. You've got all the notes are in different places.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you play in a lot of tunings or you just have a handful that you like to
No,
stick with?
I pretty much stick to standard.
Uh-huh.
Because I tend to get lost, you know, like it happened just now. I was like, wait, but, you know.
Is that true? Did you get a little lost there?
I did, you know. I've been playing in open D, trying to do that as well. So, it's not automatic for me yet.
Okay.
But so, yeah, so I try and just stick to the standard deal.
All right. Now, obviously, with a title like Next Door Neighbor Blues, the blues is a big part of that. It's a big part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But folks who listen to Black and Blue will hear, you know, there's a pretty strong R&B element to what you do and you know, alt-rock and lots of other stuff, it seems.
Yeah, I was told that I was musically schizophrenic.
That sounds dangerous.
It does sound dangerous.
Who told you that?
This guy, Jamie Soretta. Shout out to Jamie. Yeah, a nice guy from California.
So he meant well.
I think so. He was smiling when he said it.
So when you have the band with you, and especially, you know, when you're in a studio situation, as you would have been while making this record, does that change the song? I mean, the songs were written before you got in the studio, presumably, right?
Right. Most of them, all except for Glitter Ain't Gold, Jumping for Nothing. All of them, yeah, I pretty much had the ideas. And Mike Elizondo helped me with arrangements.
Bass player and producer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Worked
guy.
With Fiona Apple and so many others.
Yeah. So he was great at helping me arrange and kind of tighten things up.
Yeah.
Because, like you asked me earlier, like, is Train going to be as long as it is on the record? And that version, as long as it is, was longer.
Train kept a rolling all night long, is what you're telling me.
I kind of get lost playing a guitar solo. Like, I love to play guitar so much that I kind of get lost in it. And so they had to tell me, you know, back off. But for the most part, you know, we came in with the ideas and it was pretty much finished when we got in.
Well, the album is called Black and Blue, and it is out there. You should check it out. Gary Clark Jr. has been playing live solo for us here in the Soundcheck studio. Looking forward to whatever you come up with next time you get a chance. But in the meantime, I know it's continuing to be a busy time for you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, Gary. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck.